Welcome to the Jada Show, healing your mind, body, and spirit. Jada Jackson Collins is a local mental health professional bringing you the latest information on your complete health. Join the conversation right now at 407-916-5400 or 866-916-1045. And now here's your host, Jada Jackson Collins.
Welcome to the Jada Show. I am so excited about tonight's show because I feel like I'm going to get some of my own questions answered. Why? Because tonight's show is Battle of the Hearts. We're talking about relationships. I think this show is for everyone because I want everyone to be able to walk away saying, wow, I didn't know that. At least a little piece of information you can take away from tonight's show. So the idea of this topic came from a book that I read recently. It's Sue Johnson's book entitled Hold Me Tight. And if you're a counselor, nine times out of 10, you've probably read this book. Or even if you're a couple and you've been to couples counseling, you've probably read the book. Here's the concept. Sue Johnson teaches couples that their relationship is like a dance. We move to the rhythm of the music. We learn to hear the music and embrace our partner. We learn to sway and to move in sync, and we connect emotionally with our partner. So I started thinking about this, and I said, wouldn't it be interesting to contrast this metaphor to ask the question, why are marriages more like a battle than a dance? So tonight we have an interesting roundtable. In the studio, we're going to have differing perspectives, men versus women, as it relates to the conflict in relationships. So tonight, to weigh in on the topic, once again, in the male corner, he's raising his hands.
Absolutely.
We have Dr. David Lawson, psychologist, pastor, and professor at Palm Beach Atlantic University. Welcome.
Thank you.
And joining Dr. Lawson, we have family divorce and mediation attorney and inspirational empowerment coach, Anthony Diaz.
Hey there.
Welcome, guys. Okay, you have your boxing gloves on?
Oh, yeah.
Ready to go.
Okay, we're getting ready. Yeah. We're getting ready. We have Amber with the bell. Amber has our boxing bell ready. There it is. And in the female corner, we have Dr. Leslie Hamilton, licensed mental health. Licensed marriage and family therapist at Total Life Counseling Center. And joining Dr. Leslie, we have Joanne Jimenez-Venat, registered mental health counselor intern and family service counselor at University of Central Florida, working with relationships and education. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay, so we want to make sure that we get the rules in place first. We're going to keep everything concise and to the point, but we really want to address some heavy hitting points tonight. I sent out a few emails, as I said earlier to you, to some of my friends, and I asked them, I said, send me a question that you want to have answered as it relates to relationships. Six of the 15 questions were centered around, what do you think?
Sex.
Always around sex.
I would have expected a man to say that. Leslie likes sex.
Yeah.
Well, close enough. Infidelity. It was centered around infidelity. So I thought we'd start there. I thought we'd start with infidelity and talking about what that means and what it looks like. So obviously I tried to look up the statistics. So I went to truthaboutdeception.com and they had some pretty cool statistics. So I'm just going to run through a couple of them. I want you guys to think about it. Get your boxing gloves on because we're going to kind of debate this. Number one, it is estimated that roughly 30 to 60% of all married individuals in the United States will definitely engage in infidelity at some point in their marriage. Number two, men are more likely to cheat than women. However, here's an interesting twist to it. As women become more financially independent, women become more like men and they kind of start to cheat like the man. So that's another twist on it. Here's one I really want to kind of talk about. emotionally, it is possible to have feelings for more than one person at a time. Pragmatically, loving more than one person is actually difficult to do. Interesting concept, right? So I want to talk about that one. Here's another. Many people find a more suitable mate, someone they love more than their spouse, after they are already married. Interesting concepts, right? So basically what they're saying is we really don't have it in us to be faithful. What do you guys think?
I would agree and disagree. I think we can be faithful, but I think it's the challenges are very, very great. The average male, I think, is up against a lot of challenges just generally.
Right. Naked women walking around everywhere, right?
I know. It's tough. Well, even the magazines at the checkout aisle are women generally who are dressed up, dressed to the nine, or they're in bathing suits and they're talking about sex. And so I think there's a level of overstimulation regularly for men in our society.
Stimulation. No pun intended. I don't know. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to play the referee tonight. But it's interesting because I kind of feel like I'm coming in as an expert in the being cheated on area. So I'm just kind of like, I'm ready for somebody to say something because I'm like, oh no, this is how it is. I know this is how it is. But the reality is we've all been in relationships where, we were unable to be maybe faithful, or someone was unfaithful to us. And therefore there's a lot of insecurity there. And this kind of goes back to the topic of what we're talking about. So before we really jump into it, I want to give our listeners an opportunity to join in to the conversation by calling in your questions to Amber at 407-916-5400 or at 866-916-5400, or you can tweet us at The Jada Show or Facebook us at The Jada Show. So here is the question again on both sides. David, you kind of answered it a little bit, but why is it so difficult to be faithful in a marriage? You just gave it from the male perspective. Ladies, what do you think?
Well, I think for women, it tends to be more about emotional connection. And I think you're seeing a lot more emotional affairs with textbook and with textbook. With
textbook.
Yeah, that would be really unique.
Very
textbook, I've got to tell you.
For women to have emotional affairs. But because they're longing for that sense of connection. And, when after they get married and you have children and work, and there are just so many things that draw partners away from each other, and that they don't just connect on that real emotional level the way that they used to. They don't have that intimacy, that emotional intimacy that they had before. And so when there's an opportunity to connect with somebody else in that meaningful way, they're more vulnerable. They're more susceptible to doing that in order to get that need met.
Well, I mean, we're also in a society where we're more fluid and transient, and people are bumping into more people. And so you're seeing more people, you're, dealing with people from other cultures, and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point we were very isolated individuals, and now we've got all sorts of people bumping into each other. And, your ability to have an affair no longer ends about the time that you're, 20. It now ends at the time that you're 80 or 100. I mean,
wait, help me understand that. What do you mean, 80 or 100? Help me understand that.
Yeah, we live near a city that has one of the highest affair rates in the U.S. just north of us here in Orlando.
Right.
So,
We won't say any names,
city,
right?
No, but I mean, it's more common for people to be having affairs their whole lives, whereas I think at one point that was just not common.
Right. And I think expectations have changed as well. I think that there were the lines that were drawn have been redrawn as well.
I think those are really, really great points. We have a couple of calls on the line. We're going to come back with those questions. Please stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We're still talking about relationships and being faithful. You're listening to The Jada Show right here on WFLA 104.5.
What's impossible will they fall?
Welcome back to The Jada Show, healing your mind, body, and spirit. Join the conversation right now at 407-916-5400 or 866-916-1045. And now, back to your host, Jada Jackson Collins.
Welcome back to The Jada Show. This is Battle of the Hearts. We're talking about relationships tonight. And I just want to let you know that the Jada Show is sponsored by Life Counseling Solutions, a real journey, real people, real solutions. And if you are interested in counseling, if you or someone you know needs couples counseling, go to janielacy.com. We're here with Dr. Leslie Hamilton and JoJo Jimenez on our female side. And we have Dr. Lawson and attorney Anthony Diaz. Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hi. Thanks.
Okay. So, again, we're talking about relationships. We have a couple of callers. Again, if you want to give us your question, give us a call at 407-916-5400 or 866-916-5400. We're going to go to Jimmy in Oviedo.
How you doing?
Hey, Jimmy. You're on the Jada Show.
Hey, thanks so much. You know, I just wanted to talk about, because I just hear a lot from when I started tuning in, about feelings and trusting your feelings. Your feelings are going to lie to you. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. If we follow our feelings time and time again, they're just going to lead us so bad. I've been married for 20 years. I was married
for 21
years.
Sure. Congratulations.
Yeah, you know what? And it is. And as you say that, when you say that to somebody, it's kind of prestigious to be able to do that. Donald Trump, with all his money, cannot ever get a 20-year marriage like I have.
How did you make it work?
With one woman. Really, you know what? It's dying to self. And it's not about trusting those feelings, but really having a grounded sense and really having a relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing what that means. Not just having religion, but having a relationship with him and really putting him first and having a God-centered marriage makes all the difference. It's not easy. I have those same thoughts. I have those same lustful things. I look at the checkouts. I see the girls there and the different.
So how do you keep it in place?
You have to put him first. There's a biblical standard that puts it out there that make your wife and just make her number one. And actually make God number one and then your wife and put it in that order.
All right. First, thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate your perspective. I have Anthony Diaz. He's just waiting to jump in on here and give his comments.
Chomping at the bit here.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy brings up a lot of good points.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most important things is to really have a focus in the marriage. And for him, the focus is on his higher power, whether it be God or Jesus Christ. And he has a belief in that. And no matter what, he is going to abide by that. And I see that a lot in successful couples and successful marriages, mm-hmm. is there's a joint belief in that marriage and God or whatever. There's something that no matter what happens, mm-hmm. that holds them in place.
Yeah, and I'm kind of going to jump on the other side of that for a second because – you know, I'm a Christian and I understand that perspective and I understand having God as the anchor is definitely what keeps me grounded. But a lot of times I look for practical, applicable solutions for when I am standing in a position where I'm challenged, I need something very tangible to be able to say, this is what you do when you're standing in a position where your innermost, he said the term, he used lust. Is challenged because we talked about that during our sex show a couple of weeks ago.
Well, and I think one of the things that I liked what he said in many ways, and I'm a little scared by what he said in many ways also because the emotional side of ourselves, if we don't at least allow it an expressive process, can consume us.
Sure.
And so it's not just a belief. I think it's also you've got to have outlets for your emotions. Otherwise, they will eat away at you and it erodes whatever you've built up cognitively. At some point, it'll erode it away.
Yeah, I like that. We have another call. We have Glenn in Winter Park.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Glenn.
I'm enjoying your show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks. Do you have a question?
Well, just a comment real quick, something you alluded to earlier, and then real quick, just to give you an example, I'm 50. Let's go back to 1985. Let's talk about access. When I was 16, 17, 18, you probably can laugh at this, we were lucky if somebody's dad had a Playboy under his bed. We had no access to the things that are – and I mean, seriously, we had no cell phones, no text. Now, fast forward – the generation 25 years that are in their, you know, young, add the divorce rate to it and the access to getting what you think you want. So you've got Backpage and Craigslist and
sure.
You know, instant. Back in our day, think about this. if I wanted to connect with someone in New York, let's say I'm a businessman back in 85, and I want to meet somebody in a different city, I'd have to go to the library and get a telephone book and dial randomly.
That's true. That's true.
Now, today you go to Plenty of Fish or whatever, and, oh, I'm going to be out of town. I just want to go have dinner with somebody.
Right.
I'm not going to do anything. We are hardwired, as guys, and I just don't think that we all know where this is all headed and access.
I agree. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think that that's really important, is that access is a big part of it. And we're in a now culture. And so I don't want to promote all the the apps out there that would lead to easily having affairs. But I do think that one of the preventative pieces that we have is to not put ourselves in that position and to know which situations we're likely to be more vulnerable.
I'm going to disagree. I think it's impossible not to be in those positions. The average boy now by the age of 14 has seen porn. And so as a result of that, I'm going to say it's preparing for those situations rather than saying you can't be in those situations because they're going to be there. That's impossible. So I say we need to prepare people rather than saying prevention. Prevention is at this point impossible.
And I wasn't talking about the porn exposure. I was talking about couples and saying, you know, that as a couple, you need to know, is it really a good idea for me to go out and hang out with this single guy, you know, who has been winking at me across the table.
I'm not doing that, by the way.
I want to piggyback to that because that talks about like setting the expectations, you know, then redrawing those lines, whether it's 45 or 85 or 2012, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. Mm-hmm. And if you have that wandering eye, per se, whether you're male or female.
Ooh, I like that. Wandering eye. Let's talk about the wandering eye.
Whether you're male or female, you know, if that is something that is either, you know, in your character or is something that is a problem or an issue for you, it's going to come out with Sally, Cindy, and Jenny. You know, I think that you need to establish something from day one. What are your expectations? What is cheating? Cheating for me might be completely different, for Dr. Lawson.
And it's a perfect example of talking about communication. Yeah. When you talk about expectations, you have to communicate what they are. And I think couples, before they get married, really don't think about that as much, talking about these issues. What is an affair for you? What's important to you? And getting these issues on the table, because one, you might decide that this is not the relationship for you after getting that information out there. But if you do talk about these issues and you get them out in the open, these things are much less likely to occur, affairs and whatnot, because you've already talked about that beforehand.
And you know what? I really think it's interesting because our last caller talked about having access. And Anthony, you're talking about communication. And JoJo, you're talking about expectations. Mm-hmm. And then we had our little back and forth over here with Dr. Leslie and Dr. Lawson. But when we take a step back, we are living in times where the media beast is so incredibly forceful. How do we survive? I mean, I think that that's what we're all saying. Is it communication? Is it setting expectations? Is it setting boundaries? Is it, you know, the emotional connection? Whatever it is, I think that our listeners really would benefit for us to be able to say these are practical ways for you to survive in a relationship, because I think all of those are very, very good points. Leslie, you want to say something and we're going to take a break?
I was going to say, for couples, one of the first things that I prescribe is mandatory date nights. I think that oftentimes the relationship gets put at the bottom of the totem pole in terms of priorities. And it's like, I take care of my work, I take care of my children. And then if I have anything left, any scraps left at the end, we'll throw them to my relationship. And so by saying, you know what, every Friday night, we're going to get a babysitter, we're going to go out, we're going to cultivate our connection, is probably one of the most important things you can do to say our relationship is a priority.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're talking about relationships. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Jada Show right here on WFLA. Hey, baby, won't you look my way? I can be your
new addiction. Welcome back to The Jada Show, healing your mind, body, and spirit. Join the conversation right now at 407-916-5400 or 866-916-1045. And now, back to your host, Jada Jackson Collins.
Oh, welcome back to the Jada Show. We're talking about relationships. This is Battle of the Hearts. Well, this segment of our show is sponsored by the Harding Anti-Aging Center, using the most advanced technologies, concepts, and techniques to offer the very best medical evaluations and treatments. Again, you're listening to the Jada Show. Thanks for tuning in. We're here with Dr. Leslie, Dr. Lawson, Anthony Diaz, and JoJo Jimenez. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So we're talking relationships, and over the break, we're talking about emotional connection. Dr. Lawson, you were talking about this concept of kind of compartmentalizing intimacy and sex as it relates to emotion for men. Help us understand what that means.
Well, I think for men, what happens from a very early age, because their emotional development is not, they're not encouraged to explore their emotional side.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they do is they actually compartmentalize, they separate it out. And so their sex becomes a separate behavioral process. Their emotions become a separate process, and mm-hmm. they really don't learn to integrate them very well. Whereas women, very early on socially, are taught to do that. And
sure.
so I think there's a cultural piece to this. My brother, who's a sociologist, would appreciate me at this point. But I think there's a cultural piece that's a sociological piece that women are encouraged to do that. Men are just not.
Right. So when you try to get a man and a woman to literally integrate in a relationship and to dance and have a very healthy relationship, where is the breakdown?
I think the breakdown occurs when there's been some sort of hurt, when there's been some sort of betrayal,
mm-hmm.
When someone's trust is broken and our walls go up, mm-hmm. we act in self-preserving ways. And so when our wall goes up, that connection is broken.
Right.
I use the metaphor of my backstage pass. You know, you, mm-hmm. you lose that backstage pass to my inner experience.
Right.
You no
right.
longer have that VIP pass to come backstage and have access to what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling and all of those things that really make us connected.
Right, yeah. right. And so is this what leads to the infidelity? This is what leads to the outside emotional connections with others? Because personally, I like to look at it, if we're talking about a dance, to me, you know, I would like to be my partner's private dancer. But when you have too many people on the dance floor, that's a problem, right?
Well, yeah. And it's a perfect analogy about a dance, because a dance is very synchronistic.
Sure.
But at the same time, there's a leader sometimes, and then there's someone who's following along.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that dance between who gets to lead and who gets to follow, and that all comes down to trust.
Sure.
And Dr. Leslie was talking about something that happened to break the trust. It might not even have to be in that relationship. It could have been from a previous relationship that didn't get resolved. And it's not really talked about the couple, then all of a sudden that gets brought into the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it all goes, again, back to communicating. And maybe if you understand that your spouse or significant other had trust issues,
uh-huh.
that's something that we as men need to know.
But I think everyone has trust issues. I think ultimately we fail ourselves and everyone in our relationships. No one walks into a relationship healthy. Everyone walks in deeply wounded. They've been hurt by parents or friends or family. And so I think we confuse this whole process by saying, well, you know, I think we're pretty healthy. No, you're not. Everyone walks in deeply wounded. They've been harmed by someone. The only way to work through this is to be honest communication again with each other and start talking about that, or go get counseling.
Right.
I mean, they need to do that.
I was actually just going to say that, because for me, you know, all of us in one way or another, we've worked with couples and we've worked with individuals who have been deeply wounded. And even ourselves, if we're all transparent, everyone, like you just said, Dr. Lawson, has been wounded one way or another. But to really, really get help means we have to become very vulnerable. And that is the scariest place for us to become vulnerable. JoJo, I see you raising your hand over there.
I just see that a lot of times we have these issues with us and we don't even know. We have all these triggering events that occur, and there's these hidden issues that we haven't even addressed within ourselves.
Sure.
We're taking it out on our partners and we're blaming them for things like, you know, like we talked about earlier before the show started with it, it's the toothpaste. No, it's the seat that they don't put down or they don't put up, or mm-hmm. whatever it is, the issue with the toilet,
right.
you know?
Right.
So I think understanding that within ourselves, you know, doing our own self-work, and also within the relationship. But if you don't have that emotional safety within your relationship, you're not going to be open to talk. Even when you're in moments of having fun or in moments of that date night, like you mentioned, Dr. Leslie, which is so important, what ends up happening? We end up contaminating that fun with talking about things that end up destroying the relationship.
Absolutely. I think that's a good point, because it's almost like that extra baggage that we pull into our relationships. And it's really not about the toothpaste, and it's really not about putting the seat down, but it's all of the baggage that we kind of drag in. And then, we get into this conflict that we're unable to be successful in connecting with our partners. Anthony?
Well, also, as important as a date night is for that connection, another process that I suggest to people is called a temperature check.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, once a week, to set aside time, and they go over things that happened during the week, achievements, some downers, why they're down or why they're not talking. And,
right.
and it gives both people in the couple to actually have time to explore these issues and explore the hurts that happen before they get buried.
Sure.
And then you don't even know why you're happening.
It's interesting because, again, we're talking about that dance, and we're talking about moving together. But how do we know when to stop dancing? Is there ever a point where we come to a place where this just isn't going to work? Maybe abuse. Maybe Anthony, you're an attorney, and you work with couples all the time in going through the divorce process. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a very personal decision, and I think it's different for everyone. But what I see in the couples I work with and the couples I coach is when one person just is not wanting to dance anymore.
Sure.
If they're going and sitting on the sidelines, mm-hmm. and they don't like the music and they don't like the steps,
mm-hmm.
And there's nothing to change that, well,
sure.
then you're kind of on your own, and it's hard to dance by yourself. So I think that's a key part. If those things start shutting down, and the person's also not open to change and doing some other things, those are some really significant flags.
Yeah. Not letting it get that far, I think, because if you can say, look where we're at now. We've come so far. How is it that we've allowed all this time to go by? Looking out for those danger signs. Are we communicating? Is he withdrawing? Is she withdrawing? Is she validating my feelings right now? Are you really hearing what I'm saying? And all those things that we tend to want but not vocalize, I would say.
I like that. So, again, it's going back to communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the dance can turn into a boxing match, as we're sort of joking with right here. But but at that point, also, I think, we have to be careful. Or if the partner starts dancing with other partners,
right.
that becomes another
the
another
dance
question.
Floor becomes
yes,
too crowded.
It becomes too crowded. And so you have to start deciding in those moments what's valuable for you and what's not.
Well, I think all of these are very good points. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about why we start, if we should stop dancing. And even more so, we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about tips that will really help you as couples. So please don't go away. You're listening to The Jada Show right here on WF 104.5.
Welcome back to The Jada Show, healing your mind, body, and spirit. Join the conversation right now at 407-916-5400 or 866-916-1045. And now, back to your host, Jada Jackson Collins.
Welcome back to The Jada Show. This is Battle of the Hearts. We're talking about relationships tonight. This show is sponsored by Life Counseling Solutions. Real journey, real people, real solutions. You can visit Janie Lacey and her counseling team at janielacey.com. Also, I want to let everyone know about the Life Counseling Solutions Community Seminar at University Behavioral Center this Friday, September 28th, starting at 9 a.m. And they're going to be talking about teens, cyber world, porn, sex, and bullying. And guys, there we go again. We're talking social media, and we're having to deal with it with teens, right? So education, I think, is a huge part of what we're talking about tonight. So relationships are tough to manage, and I think love is just as difficult to manage. And Dr. Lawson, I'm going to shoot over to you because you said something a few days ago that I thought was very powerful. What was your quote about love?
Love is the most powerful force in the universe, more powerful than the atomic bomb.
More powerful than the atomic bomb. You dropped the bomb on me, baby, right?
There you go.
So let's talk about that, because sometimes we think we know what love is, right? But sometimes love can be infatuation. Sometimes we have a misconception of what love is because we think it's sex, or we think it's what people do for us. But what is love?
Well, I will just say, I think part of it is a level of deep value for the other person, a level of value that goes beyond sort of the general understanding that I think most people, even me in some ways, that we understand. Mm-hmm. And Martin Buber wrote a book called I, Thou. And in his book at the very end, he said the only way to truly love another person is to see them as the thou, not as an it, not even as a you, but as someone who is worthy of the greatest respect and worthy of great honor.
I love that. And, you know, when I think about that, you know, because love is, I think, just as powerful. But I do. I believe God is love. I think that that's a huge component of who we are as people. I have a short quote about love. And this is, again, from the book that we're talking about, Sue Johnson. And she says, I've been on a mission to figure out exactly what love is. My mother described it as a funny 5 minutes. It's also been called a mysterious mix of sentiment and sex, or a combination of infatuation and companionship. Well, it's more than that. It's the continual search for a basic, secure connection with someone else. Through this bond, partners in love become emotionally dependent on each other for nurturing, soothing, and protection. And when I think about that, obviously, you know, you're in an intimate relationship and you have to be so vulnerable to your partner. And again, love gets lost because we become defensive. And it's kind of like what you were saying, Leslie, earlier.
Well, I do. I think that it's about feeling connected. But we all at our core want to belong. And and when we have we partner up because we want to feel like we have that place. We want to know that we have someone who has our best interest in heart and who we can nurture. And that interdependence, I think, is really the hallmark of a loving relationship.
And understanding that love is ever changing and ever growing, because we're always changing. We're growing as individuals, and understanding that that's a process together, that we're going to grow together, we're going to change together, we're going to love each other through it, that trust that we're going to love each other through it.
Yeah, and I think, too, abandonment for many people is one of their deepest, darkest secrets that they fear. And so abandonment becomes part of what's triggered when love seems like it's failing in some way. They feel like they're going to be abandoned by people, by others, by God. And it's unfortunate, but I mean, I think abandonment winds up coming in as this deep fear.
Right. And I'm wondering, you know, what do you do? Let's just say, you know, there's a woman, she's been in a marriage for 20 years and her emotional needs are not being met at this moment. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation or in a marriage where you're emotionally void? And, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, what does it say? You know, that third level is that love and that community and that connection. In that moment, what do we do?
Counseling. That's what
I like.
You need
that.
To go to counseling, definitely, or find a community where you can actually get some of those needs met in a healthy way and get support in that.
Well, I think identifying what your needs are, because a lot of people say I'm not getting my needs met, but they don't really even know what their needs are.
Sure.
And if they would take a look at them and take some time to really understand that, many times, and I've seen this happen, where a lot of that goes away because it was not really an emotional need. It was something else. But I always like to see people just talk it out and let the other person know, hey, this is what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's real or not, but let's engage in a discussion. And you can tell a lot about the relationship by how that other person responds. If they're ready and engaging with you, that's a great sign. If they start to get defensive, then that's one of the red flags.
That's a red flag. I like that. David, you were going to say something.
Well, I think one of the things that the communication is so essential is that we wind up learning to hold each other in those intimate moments. Mm-hmm. And it's really a situation where if I can honor and respect you in the deepest moments, then we can share. We can talk about my pains. We can talk about the areas where I don't trust, where I don't feel good about myself, where I feel unloved and unworthy. Without those holding moments, they just don't happen.
You know, we talked earlier. I like that, David. We were talking earlier about the nagging woman or the man with the wandering eye and all of these things that take place. And I was just thinking, for the woman who doesn't understand when she's nagging, I guess this is for all the men out there, because that's one of the main things that men complain about is the nagging woman. But actually what she's saying is, I need you to fulfill my need, and that need isn't being met. And one thing I want to say to any of the women who are listening, you know, it goes back to what you were saying, Anthony. It's understanding what need is not being met or what need is not being fulfilled, and find a more excellent way to communicate that.
And men hear that as failure. I mean, that's honestly, when you start hearing that as a male,
sure,
my immediate reaction is I'm a failure and I can't help and I can't, and I withdraw.
Right.
And I think it's important to identify when we're relying on substitutes to meet our emotional needs. And I think particularly I see this with in families where a parent turns to their children to meet their emotional needs. You know, this person doesn't judge me. This person accepts me, gives me the unconditional love that I'm craving. And, you know, there's a saying that I love, that when we judge, we lose our ability to influence.
Sure.
And I think when the woman's nagging or when we're being critical, we feel judged. Mm-hmm. And when we feel judged, our walls go up and our connection is lost.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it goes back to that maintenance, you know, mm-hmm. and knowing where you are in your relationship. When you start off in that relationship, you're not going to get in a relationship with that nagging woman. You're going to turn the other way. She's not nagging at the beginning, and he might not have that wandering eye at the beginning. It's you're not checking in on your relationship, you know. And at what point were you impressing each other and no longer impressing each other before, you know, you wanted to sit there and watch the game with him? Of course I want to. And sweetie, you know, you look a little down. Let's talk about that. Now it's kind of like, I don't want to hear that. So at what point are you, you know, disregarding each other's needs?
I think people get busy. I think that people have, you know, that when they're early on in their relationship, they may have had more time for that. But mm-hmm. I mean, people have multiple kids, they've got jobs, they've got after school activities. And yeah. I think it's hard, and people have to make it a priority.
Yeah. And you know what? I just want to encourage those who are listening. Again, this show, we really want to be able to promote the resources and the knowledge and give the tips that we can to not only heal, but to give you healthier and happier lives. Right before the show, Dr. Lawson and I were talking, and he had this really great quote, and I just kind of wanted him to read this quote.
It's by actually Madeline L'Engle, and her Wrinkle in Time series is on its 50th anniversary, and I found this today. No long-term marriage is made easily, and there have been times when I've been so angry or so hurt that I thought my love would never recover. And then in the midst of near despair, something has happened beneath the surface. A bright little flashing fish of hope has flicked silver fins, and the water is bright, and suddenly I'm returned to a state of love again. Till next time. I've learned that there will always be a next time, and that I will submerge in darkness and misery, but that I won't stay submerged. And each time something has been learned under the waters, something has been gained, a new kind of love has grown. The best I can ask for is that this love, which has been built on countless failures, will continue to grow. I can say no more than that this is mystery and gift, and that somehow or other, through grace, our failures can be redeemed and blessed.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And you know, and this is just a final thought for those of you who are listening. I do believe that relationships are the most powerful thing that we have. It's not about money. It's not about things. It's not about any of that. It's about relationships with people. And we can definitely thrive on that. So please join us here next week, next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, for The Jada Show right here on WFLA 104.5. Good night and God bless.